Today's a very interesting shiur. Let's begin. It is, wow, it is October 22nd, 2017. A very sad day for the Rebbe. The Yankees came so close. And
they
in
lost?
That, they lost. Oh. Shut out, not just lost.
Who was that, Verlander?
No, Verlander was the other night. Who shut them out?
Morton.
An absolute disgrace. But that's life, and we have to go on. There's some other problems, Binyamin, on our mind. Up north, my grandson couldn't get home for Shabbos. They didn't let anyone out. You understand what's going on up north? It's very serious. It's with Iran. You're not just dealing with Syria and Russia. You're dealing with Iran. So we can't be too upset about the Yankees. I want to say Shavua Tov to my wonderful students in front of me, and to all those listening across the wide expanse of the Jewish community. I also want to mention that the email at YU is not working right now. At least Sherry's email has not been restored, and I know there are things waiting for me, and it's over almost a week now that they have not been able to print out anything. So I apologize if there's anyone that I owe an answer to. It's Pasik, if you know the Gemara, the bridge has fallen down. It's Onus Rachmana Patre in the full sense of the word. Now, something we mentioned in the past about the whole question of Kedusha at night. And the Rav, I heard with my own ears in the 50s, how the Rav said, nighttime is a moment of fear, pachad, mazikim, and we can't say kadosh, kadosh. And he said, the Chazanim are wrong when you say uvalet zion at night, matzoy Shabbos, v'ata kadosh, ashev tilat Yisrael. We don't say it aloud for the response. It's only by day when we're continuing the Kedusha. We can't part from the Kedusha, so we do a limited Kedusha in
Volat Zion. Well, what do you say about Kriyas HaTorah?
What, 1 second, a Kriyas HaTorah at night, certainly you can't make a bracha. Stam to Kore
Bi'Alma. Well, that's what they worked out with the chaplains.
Yeah, we spoke about that.
What
about
Simchas Torah?
Right.
Yeah,
so,
Again,
we don't lay in the Vilna Gaon. The Maaser Rav says he didn't lay in. Others say he did lay in. What can I tell you? All of Simchas Torah is halachically incorrect. But Am Yisrael wins out. We have to do what Am Yisrael does. So I'm not going to make a machoikis in a shul. They do lay in, don't lay in. Each one goes their way.
Waiting with seven festivals. It is ridiculous. No Jew has traveled by horse and buggy and by caravan from Eretz Yisrael to Babylon for 1,500 years.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. We're giving them a chance to go home. They're still...
The only thing we're doing is giving them a chance. That was 1,500 years ago.
So what do you want to do? You want to say V'teng Talum Matar immediately when we say Masha Baruch Moreh Gashem? Because there's so many Jews here that have to go home. Give them a chance to
go home.
In the meantime, they didn't get to the plane because certain individuals blocked the roads. You know how many Jews, how much money was lost, how much heartache. Don't get me started. So I'm Zionism. If they arrest Rav Shmuel Orbach, you know what's going to happen here? There are going to be riots on the street. You don't have a jail big enough to put all these people. They released, others won't give their name. They're coming before the...
The government, in order to stay in the business, has to cartel to the Haredim.
No, these are don't please. It's not the Haredim. The Haredim is just embarrassed as we are. This is a small group within Rav Shmuel Orbach's followers, and unfortunately, we Jews, Am Kishei Oref, we're always involved in machlekes, and this is part of the tragedy of chinuch.
Relax.
This is the tragedy of chinuch. If you educate that there's one way to go and every other way is wrong, these are the results. Baruch Hashem, I was fortunate. I had a great Rebbe. You had a great Rebbe, and the Rav taught us. There are many different ways to approach Hashem. Halacha demands, commands respect, but did you ever hear the Rav speak against Hasidim? Did you ever hear the Rav who was influenced by German Orthodoxy? Look into Rakevitz's book where he translates the Rav from Yiddish into English. It's amazing the way the Rav, but he doesn't agree, but the Derech Eretz, what he describes, Professor Mitva, wow. All right, but I want to tell you, so Rav Heschel Schechter, I believe, in one of his latest forum, says that the Rav changed his mind. So I mentioned in class, I'm very curious what went on in my Maimonides in the 70s. So I got the following letter from Nachum Lam. Regarding the Rav in Kedusha Matzai Shabbos, I of course did not know the Rav personally, but I grew up davening with Rav Seth Mendel. Now Rav Seth Mendel, who I met, is one of the OU's great experts on kashrut, on behemoth, on slaughtering. He grew up in Boston, and he was very, very close with the Rav. He would walk with him on Shabbat, and he saw everything the Rav did in davening. And Nachum writes that Rabbi Mendel was very insistent in Kew Gardens Hills, where he now lives, that Kedusha be said out loud on Saturday night. In fact, if the Chazan was a visitor, often a Hasidish one, who didn't know this and went through it without saying it out loud, Rabbi Mendel would say the three psukim out loud from his place so everyone would say it with him. And I remember he would be upset if this would happen and the Chazan didn't say it like in the morning. I could only imagine he picked this up from the Rav. So I have to tell you, this is a good proof that the Rav did change his mind and Rav Heschel is correct. Nevertheless, I have to tell you, I have difficulty in saying it aloud Saturday night, because I heard the Rav in the 50s say it so clear, it rings in my ears, but I have to bow to living evidence. It seems in class I spoke about the black cat, and I'm being corrected by my student Steve Gross. That should have been Borsellino. Am I pronouncing it right now? Well, I must have mispronounced it. Borsellino. Again, Henry Silverman writes to me on the whole question of Galicia that, yes, I'm right, it did go back and forth many times, but the main influence was Austria rather than Hungary. And I never realized I stepped into a landmine by mentioning that Galicia had Hungarian influence. Another letter from Henry, very fascinating, what we spoke about Kfura Be'eretz Yisrael. If you remember our last class, we were dealing with Tachnun and the whole question of saying Tachnun on Friday, that some Hasidic shuls have a minig, they don't say Tachnun on Friday, and believe it or not, Reb Menashe Klein found the source for it, that Friday you're rushing, and there's even a heta to daven early, not daven with a minion, to get ready for Shabbos. All right, it's hard for me to conceive of this, because to me, if you don't daven with a minion, you're not davening. It's a big difference, davening with a minion to davening without a minion. I don't know, I haven't missed Shachris Minyan in more than half a century. Well, more than half a century. But a big difference. But nevertheless, chsidim achsidim, you can't control them. When I see Chabad in action, all my questions are answered. That's all I can tell you. If you saw like Moscow and you saw Chabad, I don't say a word. Over 1,000 families in Moscow, Makban and Chal of Yisrael. I was never Makban and Chal of Yisrael in my life. Reb Moshe was Matia. The Rav is the famous story in the 70s with his Gabayim. Remember the story where he says he had ulcers. He was suffering from ulcers. So you have to drink a lot of milk when you have ulcers. So the Rav said, get me a quart of milk. Here's whatever. He gave him a dollar bill, whatever. And the Gabayim were talking, whispering, they're ready to swing to the right. What kind of milk? That? And there was I want a quart of milk, Delwood milk. And the Delwood, the OU, Chalav Akum, not Chalav Yisrael, Stamra, okay? So you can't be angry at Chassidim. And then we dealt with the question, the day you come in Aliyah, do you have to make a Shechiyonu? can you leave out Tachnun on the day you come in Aliyah? A very serious question. That's the last question we dealt with. And we got involved with the whole concept of Eretz Yisrael. And Ein Achinami, at the end of the Gemara in Ketuvah, that's Yerushalmi as well, you see that Eretz Yisrael, the Kedusha, Kol Adokan, Ein Lo Avonot, and to be buried here in the Schut, but to be buried here if you live here, not to bring bodies in from Chutz Laaretz. So it's a very interesting issue. They make a fortune of money. You see what happened in Beit Shemesh. If someone wants to make a living, Sam, if you want to settle here and make a living, open up a motel in Beit Shemesh. Take my word for it. You, unfortunately, will never lack for clients, for customers. Everyone, and these American flights, you don't know for sure when the plane is coming in, and the plane is delayed, and the traffic, and they're demonstrating. It's unbelievable what goes on. But everyone wants to be buried here. And the truth is, halacha l'maisa, if you would ask me, only if you have children living here, grandchildren living here, all right? Then you have a right to be buried here. But otherwise, and the whole concept of burial is that children should visit. You see, the whole concept, let me take out a minute. I have an unbelievable shiur today. But I want to take out a minute. I want to say a few words about the concept of burial. Why was there a minute you go to the cemetery on Erev Rosh Hashanah, right? It also was a minute Yisrael on Tisha B'Av. They also went there. But Erev Rosh Hashanah is mamish brought down Lahalacha. What's so important about cemeteries? But you see, a cemetery is very important for one simple reason. We Jews are not goyim, we're not Gentiles. A Gentile has a religion, all right? Can be very fine, can be a good Catholic, can be a good Protestant, but they're individuals. There's no concept. An Italian comes to America, an Irishman comes to America, within a few generations, he's an American without any roots. We live on a dual basis, as individuals and as part of Kal Yisrael, Am Yisrael, B'nai Yisrael, Adat Yisrael, call it what you wish. We have a dual existence. And the cemetery is very important because it's the continuity of the Jewish people. You see the past, and you realize you have to make provisions for the future. You follow me? This is why Minhag Yisrael is so important. And it's important to have Jewish cemeteries and have Gedolei Yisrael buried there. This is the story we spoke about with Rav Froyer, Yehuda Leib Froyer, in our Monday class. Here's, you mention a name, I mean, it's unbelievable. 90% of the Torah Jews walking around never heard their name. Heard this name, but he arguably may have been the greatest gadol ever to set foot in the United States. And he's buried in Holyoke. And because he's buried there and there's a nohel over his grave, you have Rabbi Dr. Mark Wiener, my dear student. How did he become from? He came from a typical American assimilating East European family. But whenever they went to the cemetery, they saw this, oh, hell, who is he? What is he? You ask questions. When a Jew asks questions, the journey back home begins. And this is very important. And with America, too, many Gedolim died in America. For instance, Rabbi Moshe Feinstein is buried here. Right or wrong? Other Gedolim, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, is buried in America. And some of these Gedolim said, it's important to be buried where you live so that the Jews will have continuity, that the Gedolei Yisrael are buried here as well. You see the Rav is buried in Boston. I was at the Rav's Kever with his wife. Were you there? You see where he's buried. The Rav is buried in Boston, a simple monument compared to what you have here in Israel. And the Major Pili is buried in New York, right in that cemetery. Rav Yaakov Yosef is buried there. So you see, when a person goes to a cemetery and he sees, I have grandparents, I have responsibility, I have blood in my veins, it's a very important experience. If everyone is going to be buried here, with this message in Chutz Laaretz, and we have to be realistic, although Kanayin Hara, we're heading for 7 million Jews here. I mean, this is unbelievable. When I came in Aliyah, there were 1.5 million Jews here in 69. Today, say, the country began with a few hundred thousand Jews, 500,000 Jews. I mean, just think what we've accomplished. But for the foreseeable future with England, Benjamin, I'm not certain what is going to happen. If you're smart, you got to get out now. But France, we see what's happening. If I don't speak French, I can't walk the streets of Rehavia and Katamon anymore. It's unbelievable what's happening. But America is still America. So please, bring bodies here. It's like saying, Israel was not good enough for me to live here, but I can be buried here. All right, I understand if there are children here, grandchildren here. Okay, we can understand it. Anyway, so I have to say that this person, this Talmud, writes to me that he's debating the issue what to do because I hit home and he has no grandchildren here. He hoped he would have children here, but doesn't seem that way. And now grandchildren, and he doesn't know what to do yet. He has to think about it. However, now I wonder if those who want to visit graves will be required to go to Israel to visit my grave. The jury is still out. In other words, and then there's the realistic position. Are the kids ever going to come here? When are they going to come? Once in a few years? Let me tell you.
Children come once a year to the
yard site. The yard site, all right. I have a Talmud whose wife is buried here, and he comes once a year to the yard site. Baruch Hashem. All right. Now let's go further. And this Shaila, I have to tell you, where I don't believe anyone else has ever discussed it. And if someone asked me the Shaila, I would answer in 1 minute. What kind of stupid question? Of course you have to say Birchat HaGoyimot. But Reb Menashe Klein gets the Shaila and he really touches it. And it opens up a world of thought for us. Okay, now let's begin at the beginning. The tshuva here is from 1975. It's to someone in Brooklyn, Reb Yaakov Treiber, whoever that may be. And it's Chelik Zion of the Mishnah Halachot, Siman Lamed. And a very simple shaila. This guy was held up at gunpoint. Okay? At gunpoint, im etnach, and does he have to say birchat hagoyimot? I was held up at gunpoint. They took his money. They went away. Guy is shaken up, obviously, to be robbed. How many of you have been robbed in this room? I was robbed in Brooklyn. I was robbed in Brooklyn in the house in Borough Park. One night it was stuffy during the summer, and we left a window open, and they came in through the window, and don't ask. I got back to Israel, had my wife and two grandchildren with me. We had a little note from the consul in New York to let us on the plane. You follow? We didn't have passports, nothing. Just a little note. They checked out who we are, and today it's computerized. This is many years ago already. It's 20 some odd years ago. But they checked it out, and that's how we got onto the plane, with a little tzepel. Unbelievable. However, and you go to the police. I also had muscle with the police. We go to the police in Borough Park, and walking out, the guy walking out the door in full regalia, uniform, a volunteer policeman, my student from DMT. He took me in to the commander, a lieutenant, an Italian. This is my rabbi, this is my teacher. So I filed the form right away. They filed it and stamped it, everything that was robbed. Why was that important? Insurance. The people who owned the house filed an insurance claim. Okay, but and what did the police tell us? Oh, there's nothing we can do. These are drug addicts. That the miracle was they didn't take my talit and tefillin. That was also on the table. Don't ask. A terrible, terrible feeling. But at least you're okay. They didn't harm you. And I don't have to tell you, here in Israel, the robberies, what goes on, and mainly Arabs, lo aleinu, Yerushalayim, cars, endless. But all right, if they don't harm you. But imagine you. Where were you robbed, Yitzchak?
In a taxi here in Israel.
What's shot in a taxi?
The guy took my wallet out of my bag.
The taxi driver.
Arab driver.
And you saw him do it.
I didn't see it. When I got out of the car and I went in the house, all of a sudden I realized my wallet is not there.
Oh my gosh. And where was your bag?
My bag was next to me on the floor. He went down and took it out.
Oh, my. So, wow. That's frightening. I my car here. Don't ask. Let's not talk about it. But you're okay. You walked away. So if someone asked me this, Shaila, hold up Balaz. He has here. It's the first time, I believe, in response to literature. Hey, Aleph, Nun, Dalet, Aleph, Pei. Hold up Balaz. Im Ekdach. And you walked away, do you say Birchat HaGomel? Okay, now, let's begin. Let's see the sources. What's the source for Birchat HaGomel? The Gemara in Brachot, Daf Nun Dalid Amid Bet, 54b. Omer Rav Yehuda Omer Rav, Arba'a Tzrichim Lehordot, Yodei Hayam, Chochei Midbarot, Misha Yachole Benitrape, Misha Yachavush Bevet Hasurim Viyatsa. Rashi Tzrichim Lahodot Kishe Yotzim Min Hasakana. I have to tell you that this Gemara opens halachic questions that until this very minute remain in controversy, and everyone in this room is affected by this controversy. Avi, the Gemara lists out four interesting cases. Who has to thank the Ribbono Shel Olam if you're on a boat in the sea and you come out of it? You're walking through a desert and you come out of it. You were sick, or you were in jail. And obviously it has to mean a Gentile jail, because in the state of Israel, as we're sitting here, Sam, and learning, there's, in many of the jails in Israel, there's Sheyurim going on right at this moment, including someone who your father knew very well. Right or wrong? Chief Rabbi.
That's giving
this year
or learning this year?
No, he's giving this year. He's giving this. I hope.
Knows enough
to give a share. I hope. That's all I can say. But Rabbi Shel Olam, I have to tell you who's in jail.
You're allowed to wear Torah with such a person.
Yitzchak. If you're in jail, you're allowed to learn Torah from him. We'll put it that way. But in America, too, there are many jails where there's a dafyomi. Lo aleinu, I'm not happy. I told someone from Lawrence the other day that they say about Lawrence, either you went to jail, you are in jail, or you're going to jail. That's
what
right.
About the guy that sold drink to me in Muncie? He was giving a dafyomi.
I got bad news for you. That guy from Muncie, I found out, this is a guy who befriended me 3 years ago at my minyan at the Kotel, and every time I daven at Yad Tama, he's sitting right next to me, or he's davening for the Yomid outside. And, nice. And someone visiting from America told me, don't be too friendly with him. I said, I don't even know his name. And then he told me the name of Geplatzt. Okay, I think
he still sits next to you?
He still, what am I going to do? Tell him not to sit next to me at the outside.
Sometimes he came to our minion.
Yeah, he came to our minion. And you know him still by sight.
He can't go for the
Yomid. Outside, he can do whatever he wants. Inside, they don't let him to the Yomid. Okay, but coming back here. So the Gemara lists out four different scenarios, we'll say, where you are in danger. A Gentile jail, I mean, in some jails, you go to jail, they'll beat the hell out of you. I don't have to tell you. It's dangerous. When you talk about the desert, you talk about the sea, all right, what about an airplane? And certainly a cholesh and a drapeh, God have mercy, illness, all of us sitting here have lost friends already, even the youngest here, those of you in your early 20s, mid-20s, you've lost friends. I remember Josh Gershon, graduated high school with me, went on, he was president of our class, 1 year of Yeshiva College, and he was gone, that damn cancer. So you can understand, you come out of a hospital, tzuchim l'hodot. Okay, now, what does this Gemara mean? Does it mean automatically whenever you go through these four experiences or experiences like them, you have to say Birchat HaGomel? Or does it mean only if you were in danger? And I'll give you an example that affects all of us. Reb Moshe Feinstein held, every time you're on a plane and get off, you have to say Birchat HaGomel. It's the same thing what the Gemara talks about. Yodei Hayam, Holchei Midbarot. Okay, they didn't have airplanes then. But isn't that dangerous? You're on a plane. It's automatically, you have to say Birchat HaGomel. If this would be the case, the Rav in my time would have to have said Birchat HaGomel every week. Got off the plane Tuesday, got on the plane again Wednesday. So the Rav had a different approach. And this machloket exists in Rishonim, it exists in Achronim, that what the Gemara is saying when it gives these four examples, it doesn't mean automatically you have to say Birchat HaGomel. It means when you are in danger. You feel danger. Person can fly. I must have flown in my life already a million miles. I can't even conceive of many times I have crossed the ocean. I have flown. Thank God. The only danger I was in was getting to the plane. I remember in Israel there was a bomb on the road to Tel Aviv, and we had to divert traffic. There was a strike, man-made situations of contemporary society. But the plane ride itself, smooth as sugar. Get off the plane, I have to make HaGomel. I was not in danger. Statistically, car travel is infinitely more dangerous than plane travel. You understand what I mean statistically? Planes go millions of miles and they never have a problem. Cars should go a few hundred thousand miles. How many crashes do we have? How many deaths do we have on the highway? Statistically, going and driving a car is infinitely more dangerous than getting on a modern airplane. So you see, there's a tremendous question here. What does the Gemara mean? Yes, we'll agree. If you stay at home in your bed, you're in less danger than someone who walks out in the street. I still remember my Rebbeim telling me, the Shanghai crowd, the survivors, that they remembered yet and mere there were people who wouldn't walk under a chandelier. And you ask them, why? How do I know I have such schut that the chandelier shouldn't fall down on me? Now, it might have happened in the history of mankind that some yokel put up a chandelier, didn't tighten it properly, and the chandelier fell down. But I'm not going to say, and I got to tell you, you take an elevator. Ribbono shel Olam, people have been killed in elevators that fell, lost this, that. I remember in Israel, when we came in Aliyah, you were not required to have a door inside the elevator. Who remembers that? Who can still remember the 60s, the 70s? Thank you, Yitzchak. At least, Sam, you know I'm not making it up. What happened was in Tel Aviv, a girl was killed because of the lack of the door. Something went wrong, and she was caught with the outer door, and she was killed. They then required every elevator in the country, you had to have a door put on. Those new had to have inner doors, and my elevator, you can see the door was added long after the original dedication took place of the building in which I live in 1969. Okay, so very interesting question. Halacha l'maisa, what does it mean? No, according to Reb Moshe, every Monday and Thursday, the Rav would have to make a Birchat HaGomel. The Rav never made a Birchat HaGomel. He felt, it's a Rivaj, there are many sources in the Rishonim. only if you were in danger. What the Gemara is saying, according to the Rav's point of view, when you're in danger, you make a birchat hagomel. What are some examples of being in danger? The Gemara listed out. You follow? But sakana is the main thought. According to the other pshat, no, the Gemara is saying that these are things a person does. Statistically, there is some danger to it, and that's why you have to make a birchat hagomel. Give me one more second, Sam. So halacha lemaisa, people ask me, you get off the plane, I arrive in America, do you need an aliyah? You want to make a birchat hagomel? I don't make any birchat hagomel. Only at the end of the entire trip, I make a birchat hagomel. So people then will say, well, if you paskin like the Rav, were you ever in danger? The plane was good, this, that. You're right. But what can I do? It's a machlekes rishonim, and it's been a long trip. And let me tell you, you're in a strange neighborhood. You don't know the ins and outs. You're crossing streets. The New York drivers are not that different than the Israeli drivers, unfortunately. Or they imported a lot of Israelis to America who taught them how to drive. And you understand? So I feel at the end of the trip, Baruch Hashem, I'm back in my native habitat, so I do make hagoymel. But I'm troubled by it. It's a tremendous machlokes. There's a tremendous chasm here.
What about the union of puk chasm? Everybody does it.
Everyone makes hagomel when they finish the trip. Some make it back and forth. I can't do that. Sam, what did you want to say?
Was Moshe Shita in a plane in general, or only when a plane went over water?
Probably only over water. That's because the you see the Gemara lahododra deyam hochem ibarat mishachonis rapa mishachavish bevet asur in the yotza. He would compare. I would imagine it's when you cross a body of water. I think he says that in his tshuvat. But today it's inevitable. If you fly from Boston to New York, it's inevitable. You have to be crossing a body of water. And what do you imagine when you fly, let's say, to Hawaii from the United States? If you fly from California to Hawaii, it's the longest trip over water. I think it's over 7 hours that you're completely over the ocean. Over 7 hours. So it's an interesting question. Now, so this is the Gemara. This is the source. Okay. Fine. A hold up, when all is said and done, no matter which way you cut the Gemara, a guy is holding you up with a gun, you are in trouble. And logically speaking, if you walked away, make a bracha. Okay. This leads us, no, not so simple. And watch. And let me begin, I'll show you the sources in a moment. Very fascinating Tosfot. Gentlemen, are we all equal? Are we all equal? Look around the classroom. We're all human beings. All our lives are equal. This is the basis of halacha. A guy comes in and says, surrender this Jew, I kill all of you. You're not allowed to surrender. I gave shirm on this when I dealt with the Holocaust. Surrender this woman, or we rape all the women. Not allowed. Not allowed to surrender. Everyone is equal. Avi, are we all equal? Avi Schwartz, his bank account, $10,000. There are people sitting here, $10 million. Let me tell it my way. Herb, right or wrong, there are people who walk in to a store and their wives see a beautiful dress, $200. Honey, you know we can't afford it. And there are other people, are you sure you want to settle for $200? Why don't you look around at the $500 dresses? Oh boy, Sam, are you a scholar in the history of communism? You follow what I'm saying? Are we all equal? Okay. So let me reach a very simple halakhic conclusion. And again, it affects everyone in the world until this very moment. We have a dual status. On one hand, we're all equal. And if, God forbid, there's a car accident, they can't say, ah, let's try to save this guy, he's a professor. The other one is a street cleaner. Chas v'chalila. Triage is something else. Let's try to say this person, there's more chance. The other one already is so critical, there's nothing we can do. That's triage.
But this lady?
You're talking about the chagiga, who comes first, and the mamzer and everything. But halacha l'maisu, we don't go that way today. No one will ever say this guy's a Kohen and this guy's a Levi. All humans are equal. That factor does not enter into the picture. Or it shouldn't. You follow? Theoretically. Part of the whole problem in America today with healthcare borders on this whole question. Okay. We're all equal. Comes to Chatzi Shekel, every last Jew has to give a Chatzi Shekel. Avi's worth $10,000. Chatzi Shekel. Sam just made a killing with some investment. He's worth $10 million. Chatzi Shekel. A head tax, a poll. Is there a word for that technically? Ah, but then there's another tax. I'll show you what Chazal called it. Another tax. You go shopping. Vic went shopping for food, doesn't have a big family. He spent 100 shekel, 17 shekel he paid in tax. Right or wrong? Right or wrong? Herbie went shopping. He has his grandchildren coming, a big family. He spent 1,000 shekel. What did he pay in tax? 17% of 1,000. What's that? 170 shekel. Wow.
Do you know why you have the VAT? Because the government knows there's a lot of
economists. I understand.
They need money to build roads, so they have to
drive. Right, right. No, I understand. They know the head tax is not enough. Because income tax, you have income tax, you have VAT, you have sales tax, that already is in accordance with your wealth. That's not a chatzi shekel. It's like Trumat and Maisrat. Right or wrong, Trumat. Dove, you have many fields. Trumat and Maisrat, Yisrael was robbed yesterday by the Arabs. It's beyond comprehension how our security here is very frightening what happened yesterday. Very frightening. And they walked off with more and more and more and more till they caught them. You have many fields. You're Trumat and Maisrat. You're Bikurim. Think what I'm saying. You're Maisa Shani. You're Maisa Rani. Millions of dollars a year. Binyamin, fine messer, there's one little field. Few shekel worth of Trumat Maisrat. That's it. You follow? Okay. How does this play a role? What are we talking about? How do we get involved? What does this mean? Halacha l'maisa? Gemara in Baba Kama, Daf Kuf Tet Zayin, Amid Bet. Tana Rabbanon. Shayara. Shechaita mahalechet bamidba. V'yamad aleim gayis l'tarfa. Machshivim lefi mamon. Vei machshivim lefi nefashat. V'yim sachru taya alach lefnehem. Machshivim af lefi nefashat. What's the Gemara talking about here? It's very esoteric. Let me explain it. A group of people were traveling in the desert. Today, you can be in a bus. Gangsters come in, and they point guns at you. give us your money. Wait a minute. How do you give the money? There are 15 people in the bus. We want $100,000 from you, or we're going to harm you. How do you divide up the $100,000? If you go by a head count, take 10 people in the bus, let's say 10, $100,000, each one has to give. Divide it, $10,000, right or wrong. If we go by wealth, wait a minute, Avi Schwartz, he's a poor guy. Look at what he has. Compare it to Yosef. Wait a minute. Yosef, you got to give $12,000. Avi has to give $5,000. Sam has to give $20,000. You're breaking it down according to wealth. Let me see your bank account. This is like asking for an arrangement in America with the yeshiva with tuition. Today, with tuition, they want to see your income tax return. They want to see your forms, what you're filing, what you're earning. It's a whole difference here. So you see, it's very interesting. We individuals live on two levels. As individuals created in the image of God with a soul, we're all equal. No one is better than the other one. The Rav, I have in my book, I have Rebbe talking about it, that on that level, the shoemaker in Prujana was on the same level like Reb Chaim Brisker in Brisk. And it's a magnificent thought, it's true. The cabinet maker in Chaslovich was on the same level as Reb Elia Feinstein, the Rav's grandfather, Prujana Rav. On that level, we're all equal. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Chatzi shekel apiece. But there's another level. Our earthly possessions. We're all on a different level. I bought an apartment in 69, Sam, the smartest thing I ever did in my life. I was a pauper, you understand? I had $13,500 as a result of selling my mortgage, which was with New Jersey. With that $13,500, I bought an apartment here. Oh my gosh, what my apartment is worth today, you got to be crazy. I live in one big room with three closets. That's what it amounts to. Kanayin hara. All right. No? Binyamin, you have an apartment, let's say, in Netiva, in Yeruchim. That apartment, you have more space than I have. But what's it worth? You follow? Location. I'm living on Fifth Avenue. You're living on the Lower East Side. Got it? But very interesting, you understand? Two different levels. Now, what does this have to do with the holdup? Again, I repeat, we just discussed two simple matters. Humans function on two levels. On one level, we're all equal. On the other level, there's differentiation. What does that have to do with the holdup? So I'll show you a Tosfot in a minute, but let me explain it first. Very simple. What does the holdup man want? He points a gun at you. He wants your life or money. If he wants your life, nothing will help. He'll blow you away. If you survive the holdup, you certainly have to make Birchat HaGomel. If, on the other hand, all he wants is money, what's the danger? Give him the money and walk away singing. What Birchat HaGomel? You weren't in real danger. Danger is danger. Danger to life. Danger to limb. But if the guy only wants your money, give him your money and walk away. You with me?
Nope.
This is the heart of the question. Yitzchak, I know what you're laughing. And this, now we'll go back to Rabbi Manuel Rackman. Let's see if you have good memories. The Jews started moving out to the five towns in Far Rockaway. Far Rockaway, Avi, you know where Far Rockaway is?
My dad grew up there.
Your dad, Far Rockaway, when I was growing up, that was the wealthiest Jews lived in Far Rockaway. Right on the beach. You understand? Far Rockaway, Lawrence, wow. And then a different element started coming into Far Rockaway. And no, I don't want to be pejorative.
My family, the Schwartzes.
Yeah, I understand. The Schwartzes are very good, but be careful. We got to be politically correct. And I got to tell you, I'm going to show tomorrow a picture of a Afro-American walking around in Israel. I met him here with beard, prayers, and black clothes. He looks like a Rosh Yeshiva, not like that black kefet, you understand? So don't say a bad word against the Schwartzes, okay? But a different element started moving in, and it became a sakana. And there were incidents of Jews being held up Friday night, and they didn't have money, and they were beaten up because the hold-up man was frustrated. He sees a guy dressed in beautiful clothes, Shabbos clothes, and he has no money. So Rabbi Rackman issued a psak, as I recall, there may have been other rabbis involved, put a $20 bill in your hat. Inside your hat. Shouldn't be a shayla of carrying. It's above ten tefachim. It's makom haptur. We had the shayla in Russia. When you went during the communist era and our people had to do the work in Russia, they had to have their passport and their visa and their money with them at all times. If you didn't, you were robbed in your room, you were grounded. The KGB, there was once a famous editor of Dvar, a socialist. She went to Russia and she was briefed and she was... And she didn't believe us. And the minute she came back to our hotel room, passports gone, money gone, everything, visa. Yeah, then you can't do a thing. The day she had to leave, the police informed, oh, some honest person found it and returned it to you. You follow? So yeah, there was the whole shayla. Is it better to put in your shoe, put it in your hat? I have a hat at home. I've shown it in the kola where Malka sewed in a pocket. And I had everything in my hat with the pocket and above 10 tefachim. Others felt three tefachim lavud. That's also not carrying. So b'di'evit, but it's an etzah. So the guy was furious. You don't have money. Rabbi Rackman issued a psak. Put a $20 bill in your hat, in the brim, inside, in the what's around, what would you call it? The in a hat where you put your initials in. Put it inside, and when you're robbed, you take your hat off and you say, I'm a Sabbath observer, we don't carry money, but I do have, in case of an emergency, in my hat a $20 bill, and I'm happy to give it to you. The guy will put the gun in his pocket, take the $20 bill until you turn around, close your eyes, don't look for 3 minutes, and he's gone. Okay? But you see, Birchat HaGomel, if he only wants money, what's the danger? It can be frightening, it can be traumatic, but to say that there's danger? On the other hand, if the guy wants your life, believe me, there is danger. This, everything I just explained, is a Gemara in Baba Batra, Daf Zayin Amid Bet in Baba Batra. Very interesting Gemara. The Gemara HaShutfin, all of you, I trust, have learned Baba Batra, so you all know Baba Batra is the source of neighborly relations. In the state of Israel, Baba Batra plays a big role, Bayit Mishutaf. Do you know what that word means, Yosef? what they call cooperatives, like in America, except Israel had Bayit Meshutaf long before America ever dreamt of it. So in the Bayit Meshutaf, there are all types of rules and regulations. You have to build a fence around the building, perhaps. You have to build a makan, the roof. Who pays for it? How do you pay? You run an elevator. Yosef just bought an apartment in Tel Aviv. He's on the ground floor. He doesn't want to pay for the elevator. It's a 20-story building. He's on the ground floor. He never uses it. Right or wrong, there are laws in Israel. You have to pay. Bayit Meshutaf.
Well, the guy at the top floor says, I have a leak. And Yosef doesn't want to pay.
Right. There's a leak coming down from the roof. And you say, why should I pay? The leak doesn't affect me. You follow? So this is Baba Batra. It's the source. You should know. It's quoted today. Today in the courts, you're allowed to quote Mishpat Avri. The whole country is getting better because more people are from, more people are learned. It's a process. By the time Mashiach comes, it will be a different world. And whatever's lacking, he will finish off. But you don't want to lead him to do too much. So we have to keep on working on our end. In the Supreme Court today, you have quite a few judges who are Shomer Torah Mitzvot 100%. Originally in the Supreme Court, there was like in the Supreme Court in America, there was always a Jewish seat. Are you aware of this? Lefty, righty is a different discussion is right. But in America, in the state of Israel, who was the first judge from a tzaddik, a Talmud Chacham? Professor Asaf, Simcha Asaf, who's a yeshiva bacha, tells a Lamdan Mufak, who was very fortunate, he went to Tells, because the other yeshiva, if he would have said he wants to go to university, they would have told him to go fly a kite, and he would have rebelled. Tells understood already, encouraged him. This is Tells in Europe, not Tells in America. And Tells in Europe was much broader. They were like, why you? They had a school for women. Oh, a teacher's college. What they didn't have today in Tells, oh boy, don't mention what went on in Europe. Oxgrove could never write it up properly because it would corrupt the youth. But this is the reality. But what do you do? Yeah, your neighbors, cooperative. Now, the Gemara talks about you have to build the wall around the city. Why do you have to build the wall around the city? Because you're worried about people coming and robbing and harming you. Now, here the question comes up. You force the Gemara Paskins that you force the people to contribute. You cannot say, I live on the first floor, I'm not interested in an elevator, I don't have any money, I'm not interested in building a wall. Everyone has to contribute. But the Gemara in Baba Batra raises a simple question. How do you contribute? Why are you building a wall? If it's nefashot, we're worried stiff. They're going to come and pogrom us, kill us. If it's nefashot yomo, everyone has to pay equally. Don't tell me you have no money. The millionaire and the pauper, the prince and the pauper, the white and the black, whatever you want to say, the Taimani and the American, everyone has to pay equally. This wall is to protect you, your life, your body, your limbs, your hands, your feet. But if the gang, it's amazing, you see Chazal, what you have? If the gangsters are going to come, they don't want to kill you. They don't want to harm you. They don't want to maim you. Give us your money and we'll walk away happily. If that's the reason you have to build the wall, what a difference. Sam, just won $20 million in an investment. And there's Yomo knocking around barely with 20 shekel in his pocket. How much do you give? You understand? Is there a word for that type of tax? Anyone here an accountant?
Progressive
tax. And what did I call a head tax? Is there a simple word for that? Well, that's it. A head equal the head tax. Yeah, chatzi shekel. I'll show you the words here in a minute. But what an interesting question. How do you pay? Well, here's the Gemara. So, all right, you forced him to pay. Boy, minei Rebbe Lozumi Rebbe Yochanan. Kishehen Golvim? Lefina Fashat Golvim? O Ledilma Lefi Shebach Mamon Golvim? A progressive tax? Shebach Mamon. One who has more, pays more. One who has less, gives less. Or no, we just look at the souls, we count the number. We're all human beings with human dignity. That's the very question. Amalei, lefima mongolvin. Gentlemen, the Gemara is telling us when people come to a city to burst in, 99% of the time, all they're interested is money. So you don't pay 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, each one a chatzi shekel. We have to say, show us your bank account, show us your tax return, let's see what's going on with your visa, and obviously President Trump has to pay more than Steve Breslau. Not much more, because, you know, the tax laws are such in America, with a good accountant, you can work it out. But this is the Gemara. And not only. So, you see, you gave a psak. They asked Reb Elazar. Reb Elazar asked Reb Yochanan. Reb Yochanan gave a psak. And Reb Yochanan says to Reb Elazar, listen to these words. Elazar b'ni, kava bo mismorot. Wow. What does that mean? Drive nails into it. And Rashi explains, he's aher ladun kein v'lo tazuz mimenu. Be careful to paskin like this. Don't turn sideways like a nail. What does that mean? It's very simple. This is a very interesting question. Is it lefi nefashot or lefi shevach mamon? The truth of the matter is I can make an argument either way. But what Rabbi Yochanan is saying, 99% of the time, it's shevach mamon. Don't let anyone try to influence you otherwise. This is the psak, and follow it 100%. Very fascinating. Okay. Again, what does this have to do with the original question? Takes us back to the same haunting issue. When someone points a gun at you, does he really want to kill you, or does he want your money? Logically speaking, 99% of the time, they want your money. What good is it if he kills you? Sam gave up money, he paid this gangster. He goes back, he makes another deal on the stock market. He has information, he makes a killing again. Ah, the Ganef is very happy. He has money, I'll get at that money again. Once you robbed once, who robbed you twice, who robbed you thrice? You don't know what goes on in this world. While we're sitting here, people are planning how to take advantage of our money, rob us. This is the universe. You don't know what goes on. I mean, I had a visa. So this is before the modern world, and it's 20 years ago, let's say. So I ordered, I think I joined AARP, and I'm speaking with this person over the telephone. He's taking my visa, taking my number, and I say, well, this is magnificent that you can do it all over the phone. He must have heard my words and figured what an idiot this guy is. I'm going to take advantage of him, and the next thing I know, I'm getting billed from Garden City. I never set foot in Garden City in my life. I think I told you this. I'm getting billed. So I filed a complaint. They gave me a new Visa card. They checked it out. The company returned the money to me weeks later. So I'm speaking with the person over the telephone. This is in Israel, already speaking to America. And I say, did you find out who robbed my visa, my identity? And she said, Rabbi, I hate to tell you this. I'm quoting her, a nice lady. She said, Rabbi, had to be a Gentile. The minute she saw the title Rabbi, she respect. Rabbi, I hate to tell you this. You know how much theft we have during the year? Over $1 billion. We can't waste the time checking out a few thousand dollars. You heard what she told me? Triage on what they have to check out. So I never got an answer. Who robbed? Who this? They gave you a new credit card. But today, you can't do a thing without giving your credit card number over the phone, over the internet. I hope.
You know, they charge us without realizing that insurance to cover this kind of thing.
They mean it's built into the whole system. Yeah, that's why people say to me, if you don't use your credit card, you're an idiot, because it's built into the system that everything is priced more to cover credit card and what they have to pay the company and the insurance and all that goes with it. But what a fascinating question. And really, there are two aspects to life. It's true. We're all equal. And yet we're not all equal. We're sitting in one classroom and everyone has a different tax return. Everyone is in a different status. Everyone has a different amount of money. Everyone has made different investments and some succeeded, some didn't. We're not equal. And could you imagine the questioner who's asking the question of Rabbi Moshe Klein? He is taking for granted, he's arguing the case, that if they want to kill you, birchata goymel. But if they only want your money, give them the money. No problem. No hagomel. Yes, Yitzchak.
In today's world, the fellow who comes to you openly with a gun or a knife is usually a drug addict. And a drug addict is someone who is not...
Yitzchak, I have to tell you, you suffer from that Israeli illness known as savlanitis. Patience. We will get there. Reb Menashe Klein is just as smart as you and I are. Well, give it a chance. Shlav Shlav. Tosfot. Very fascinating Tosfot here in Baba Batra. Tav Zayin Amid Bet. Everything I'm quoting, by the way, is quoted in the Tshuva by Reb Menashe Klein. And it Tosfot is discussing this very, very question. And he comes back to that Gemara we just spoke about. You're going in the desert. You hire guides. This is, let me just give you the Gemara. Baba Kama Daf Kuf Tet Zayin Amid Bet. The Gemara I quoted a half hour ago. You hired guides. How do you pay the guides? Gemara says openly, you pay the guides according to wealth, money. Because you want to go through the desert. You're a business person. Money is the most important reason. This is why you're traveling. And if you're going through the desert and people come to rob you, you absolutely have to give the people the money and divide it up according to wealth. But on the other hand, if you are lost in the desert and you hire someone to get you out, to guide you out, it has nothing to do with money. But you want to get out of the desert. You're lost. You have to pay the guide according to chatzi shekel, souls. Not a progressive tax, but a head tax, because you're all equal. It has nothing to do with money. It has to do with getting out alive. Tosfos discovers another problem. It's all part of the same issue. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, something that you all know, b'machteret. What about if someone's coming to rob you and you blow them away? Someone's coming b'machteret, secretly, at night. You're not chayav mitah. Only if it's a son robbing a father where you're sure he won't kill you. But if it's a regular robber and it's not a son, not a relative, if you shoot him and kill him, you're not held culpable because a person will fight to protect his money and put his life in danger. If that Gemara guides us, then when someone points a gun at you, it's a capital offense. Life is involved. It's not a small matter. Hagomel for sure. So you see, all these issues come up in the Gemara, in Tosfot. You swing back and forth. There is nothing here that is black and white. Now, let's go back to the original Shiva. These are the sources. And the person asking the question is making a very, very strong case that there was no real sakana here. They only wanted money. Im lo yardu kenegdam lo yazik lekufam lo chashiv sakanat nefashat. That's the person asking the question, making a very strong case. And
how does he know what's in the mind of the robber?
You'll see what he has to say. One second. We'll get there. Now he gets involved with the tshuva of the Rivash. Reb Yitzchak Bar Sheshet. When you talk about the Rivash, Simon Shin Lamed Zayin, you're talking about one of the main sources for the Shulchan Aruch. The Rivash is at the end of the Rishonic period. He's Spain, Portugal, when the Jews are running for their lives. They're coming to new countries, Algeria, Morocco, and the Rivash and the Tashbeitz, very important poskim. And he discusses this very issue and gives us fabulous insight. And I would say this is halacha l'maisa. And let me make it real. Gentlemen, in the 1970s, 1976 to be exact, tremendous machloket broke out between the Lubavitcher Rebbe and the Sachma Rav. What happened? July 4th, 1976. Entebbe. Okay. Entebbe was an unbelievable story. The Lubavitcher Rebbe called it a miracle. The Sachma Rav went ballistic. How could a miracle be accomplished by Tzva Hagana Yisrael, an army of infidels, apikursim, mechallelei Shabbos, every epithet that the Sachma could throw at the Israeli army? All right. Attack the Lubavitcher Rebbe. It reached the stage of physical battle on the streets of Williamsburg, if you recall. Happened to be in New York during this period, and I saw on the news the channels 2, channel 4, channel 5, channel 7, channel 11, movies, videos, Jews, chassidim, beating up chassidim on the streets, cutting off beards, breaking arms, terrible. The Lubavitcher Rebbe spoke up and said, what do you mean it wasn't a miracle? I want to ask you a halachic question. If you were in Entebbe, you were on that plane, you were in Uganda, and Tzva Hagana Yisrael came and freed you, and you went back to Uganda a few years later in that very airport, wouldn't you be obligated to make a bracha sha'asa li neis b'makom hazeh? Isn't that a bracha when you go back? When you have survived, imagine someone goes back to the concentration camps where he miraculously survived, has a story to tell, and has to make a bracha. And the Rivash develops the idea there are two brachot of Thanksgiving. On one level, when you're in danger, you have to make hagomel. But when there was tremendous danger and you were saved, something that's supernatural, you have to make sha'asali nes b'makom hazeh. And this becomes the blueprint. If you're in a situation where there's slight danger and they're holding a gun at you, but most of the time they only want money, so if you're saved, you make a bracha, shagomel lechayavim tovot. But if you're in tremendous danger and a miracle happens, then sha'asli neis b'makom hazeh. And this is the Rivash. And he goes further and he deals with the Gemara we began with an hour ago, that it's not to be taken literally, only these four, but figuratively, whenever there's danger, even if it has nothing to do with the hospital or prison or traveling, you have to make hagomel if you survive. And then I want to call your attention. The halacha, you see that Rav Menashe Klein is very strongly indicating that a holdup is danger. Percentage-wise, they don't kill everyone, but enough people are killed and frightened that a holdup is danger. Yes, hagomel you make. You would not have to say sha'asili neis b'makom hazeh. It's not like Entebbe, but the Rivash is absolutely correct. And he discusses the problem Reb Moshe Feinstein, the Rav. Do you make each time? Do you make only when there's sakana? And he's inclined, yes, only when there's sakana, but a holdup is sakana. And then there's one line here, which is very fascinating. V'rabotenu hatzadikim ha'achronim. He's referring to the Hasidic Rebbeim. And he says, they paskin like the Rav. You have to make a bracha when you feel the danger. And feeling danger is not limited to those four instances. It can be universal. It certain includes holdups. What am I calling your attention to? That line that I just read can only be written by someone who has Hasidic tendencies. We're now coming back to the modern world. I learned in Yeshiva University, but specifically Yeshivas Rabbeinu Yitzchak Elchanan. I learned in Lakewood. I never, ever heard someone say, the Heilige Rashi hat gesagt. The Heilige Rashba hat geteinet. Never heard it. Never. Chassidic world, you see the kids who are learning Chulin already at the age of 13, 14, they learn Halacha L'maisa. They're learning Chulin. The Heilige Rashi. The Heilige Tosfos. different approach. But Avonoteinu HaTzadikim HaAchronim. Wow. This is Reb Menashe Klein. With that sentence, he gives himself away. How were you taught, Yosef? Where did you go to high school?
DRS, but I went to Chafetz Chaim school for elementary school.
You went to Chatanu, what are they saying Chafetz Chaim today? That was Litvish, but today no one knows.
Zakdrashi, I mean, sometimes they go, usually just Zakdrashi.
Zakdrashi. But then Giret Matach Yiddish?
Bissel.
Avu is the Chafetz Chaim given?
Nah,
you went to Where was the Chafetz Chaim located?
It was in Queens, New York.
Oh, Queens, all right, New York, I know the area. But who went to a partial Haredi institution? Binyamin, where did you study in?
Chasmanayim.
No, they said the Holy Rashi or no Yitzchak.
I studied in Mir when everything was in Yiddish.
You studied in Mir.
And I'll tell you, nobody ever said the Haredi.
No, Mir. No, I had my rabbein with from Mir. And today in YU, how do they approach it? Have they gone the way of the Hasidic world? Achronim tzaddikim. All right, think about it. I'll tell you, there's nothing wrong, Rashi, of course, compared to us, at the Halakha Rashi. But I'll tell you what bothers me. When we learn Gemara, when we learn Rashi, Tosfot, we're sharpening our minds, we're arguing, we're showing different points of view, we're taking sides. Just now in class we're taking a side. Does it go by head count or does it go by wealth, progressive tax? We're taking sides, you understand? You got to be able to fight. You got to be able to express an opinion. If you say the Halakha Rashi, keep your mouth shut. How can I argue with Rashi who's holy? See, it bothers me as a Litvak. As a Litvak, it bothers me. But all right, the Litvakin, we're disappearing one by one, so I understand already. Now I want to...
So my wife comes back from a shiur, and the rabbi who gave the shiur at the YU said, the Halakha Ari.
The Halakha Ari. Ari HaKadosh. But when you're giving a shiur, the Ari is the Ari, all right, but when you deal with them, I guess philosophically, from that point of view, Rav Shlomo Alkabetz, the Lachadodi, I mean, I feel a Kedusha. I'm not, I want you to know that my Rebbein for me, I'll never forget this as long as I live. And I've said it to my grandchildren, people have a habit that Lachadodi, the whole Kabbalah Shabbat, they're not davening into a proper Kavanah. Everyone knows you're not required. No one heard of Kabbalah Shabbat in the whole Gemara. Whoever heard Lechuna Vanana, and you certainly didn't hear the Chadodi. It didn't exist yet. But Reb Henoch said that he has one regret about his years in Mir, that during Kabbalah Shabbat he was learning Gemara. You understand that? And you think about that. So there's something to be said, the Halakha Ari, the Reb Shlomo Alkabetz, that whole period, the sanctity, the fact that, look today, the rebirth of Breslov, I mean, it's beyond me, Binyamin, I'm a Litvak, but I have to stand in awe at people, Shomrei Torah Mitzvot, that they're dancing on the cars, Kolam Kulo, Geshem Samiyod, and people are smiling, and the Chabadnikim with the Tfilin, I mean, that's unbelievable. Kalakavot, yeah.
What do you think of people that are learning Gemara while the Tfilah is going on?
New Reb Moshe during Chazaras HaShatz was learning Mishnayot, and they told off Reb Moshe, and he said, I was wrong, and you're absolutely right, and one has to concentrate on the Chazaras HaShatz. What can I tell you? You have to daven. People get so involved in learning. I remember there was a psak floating around here in Washington, Bayit Vagan, when I came in Aliyah, that if you have a Seder, you can miss Mincha B'Tzibur. That daven b'yuchidit and keep your Seder in learning. I would not paskin that way. As is, our generation doesn't daven properly. I see my grandchildren can give me a rundown where you get a fast minion, you understand? They love the shtiblach, and they know which minion in the shtiblach, which is the slow minion, which is the moderate minion, which is the quick minion. I say that we have to learn how to daven. And I have to say, I know just what you're saying. I do not have that problem today, unfortunately, because by the time, if I make it to Birchat Kohanim with my own Shmon Esrei, I'm doing good. The minyan I daven at is very quick. There was a big machlokes now that the Shlichzi was going too quick. He slowed down a little. So even if I wanted to learn Gemara during Chazaras HaShatz, it's impossible. But la halacha, person should concentrate and daven, and the Rav never budged. You know that. That he felt there was a kiyum in the Shmon Esrei publicly and in the Shmon Esrei Chazaret HaShatz. And he didn't wash the Kohanim's hands. He said, it's not that I'm a Balgai, but Chas V'Chalila. But he stood in his place, didn't budge. The whole Chazaret HaShatz, listening word by word, a dual kiyum. So,
what happened if he was the only lady in the Bet
Knesset? So they'd wash before the Chazaras HaShatz. The Rav would be accommodated. Okay, now I want to end off, and I want to come to what Yitzchak said. And here you see the multifacetedness of Reb Menashe Klein. On one hand, you see a Talmud Chacham Mufak, all the Gemaras he quoted, the Tosfot. The question he raised, it's an interesting question. You can do a master's thesis on halacha, progressive tax or head tax, and all the implications and all the various sources we touched upon, and you take it further and further. And halacha lemaiser, a bayit meshutaf, a cooperative. Okay. Then you see Reb Menashe Klein, the Hasidic influence. Could you imagine? Rabotenu ha-tzadikim ha-achromim. Wow. And then at the end, you see Reb Menashe Klein, he's not a cloistered individual. He's living in this world. And at the end he says, yes, it may very well be that the thieves are coming for money. Nevertheless, I feel you have to make a Birchat HaGomel. It's a frightening experience. And then he says, but the truth is, you certainly have to make a Birchat HaGomel. Because today the thieves, his words are, Hem gruim, Shehem chargim afilu notnim lahem mamonam. He says, they kill people, even if they give them their money. And he says, we know this from the news, Mikama uvdot shein choshishim shelo yigalu aleichem lemishtara. Ah, you give them the money, but you saw their face, you saw somewhat, even if they have a mask over their face, you saw their height, you saw the color of their skin, you got a certain feeling of their physical gestalt. They don't want the police to know. So they take your money and they blow you away. Ulakein hem be'emet b'klal rotzchim. And you heard what Yitzchak said. That's what the police told me. These are people, drug addicts. Lo aleinu. They don't think logically. They can't think logically. They're musumam, the arithmetu beret. It's a curse all over the world. I don't have to tell you. When we went to the Goan Aliyah, I'll never forget this, in 68, Hanukkah time, I go to the Jewish agency and I tell them, my wife and I, children, we want to go in Aliyah. We want to file forms. This is in New York City. And they send me to someone. She starts questioning me. And what is your profession? I'm a rabbi. Rabbi sweeps streets in Jerusalem. I also have a doctorate in Jewish history. I have a book about to be published. People with doctorates work in the zoo, she says in Tel Aviv. And so discouraging. So I asked later, why were they so discouraging? And they told me the story. After the Six-Day War, big aliyah from America, of everyone welcome, helping, moving. Part of that aliyah was every hippie with drugs brought tremendous drug problem to Israel. Before the Six-Day War, you did not get drugs here. Six-Day War opened the floodgate from the old city. The Arabs, the Jews got involved, the American kids. Before you know it, you had a drug problem here. And then the order went out already beginning in 68. You try to discourage every American, certainly younger Americans, we were young at the time, to be certain it's not a drug problem. But what Yitzchak said is absolutely right. And he says, if this is the case, L'chuli alma tzarich l'varechka haygavna, everyone will agree there's not the slightest shaylech here. Kein nireh li lefi hadin halacha l'maisa. And this is the way it appears to me, halacha l'maisa, that everyone, if there's a holdup and you walk away from the holdup with just the loss of money, you're obligated to make hagomel. There is no question about it. Okay, so let me reiterate. I don't know of any other tshuva that analyzed a holdup like this, but it's fascinating. What does a holdup imply? Is it a head tax or a progressive tax? And the Gemara says so many different inferences, lost in a desert, attacked in a desert, bayit mishutaf, the Gemara in Baba Batra, the Gemara, you get involved with one sugya after another, the Gemara in Baba Kama, and the Gemara in Brachat, and what does it mean, Abar Chaim Lahodot? But halacha l'maisa, with all the analysis, if it is a holdup and it is with a gun, you have to say birchat hakomel. And the fact that they want your money and walk away, that itself is a little bit of a small miracle, because many of these holdup people are trigger happy. They don't want to be identified. They can be drugged. They can be on liquor. There's no end to the influences upon them that would interfere with pure logical thinking that most human beings have when they're functioning in a normative fashion. So this is Reb Menashe Klein. We have one more part to this tshuva. There's a second tshuva, but nothing earth-shaking, just further strengthening his position. And then we deal with a very fascinating question. No? The door opens and a gentleman walks in named Albert Einstein. What bracha do you make? Do you make any bracha? Gemara and bracha, Jew, Gentile, Chachmat Olam, Chachmat Torah. Fascinating question. And here you see Reb Menashe Klein and contradistinct him with Yeshiva University. As I mentioned in the Monday...
You take your brother, Albert Einstein walks in, he'd think you're nuts.
Wait. If Albert Einstein walks in...
He would think that you're nuts if you made him wrong.
No, who cares what he thinks? The question is what the halacha requires. But Albert Einstein, when all is said and done, identified as a Jew and helped Yeshiva University. So we have to... be slightly thankful that he didn't know what Shabbat was. That's a different story. But when he gave his name to Albert Einstein, I don't know, Yitzchak and I remember. We thought Mashiach was coming. Remember Yitzchak? There'll never be problems again. The money will roll in. And for many years it was true. And then take a look, last year, Yeshiva had to sign away Albert Einstein and a good part of the endowment fund to Montefiore.
The school still has that name.
But the school still, well, yeah, it brings some prestige, but it's not the same one. It's not totally under our control. We have very slight influence. Okay, I just want to mention something else that
Did people make a bracha when the boat came?
Al Pidin, absolutely. After Chalak Mechach Matali Reyav, I gave a drasha. I spoke in Shulin Mount Kisco. There was an old gabbai there, Yudapeisha. He made a bracha on me. I felt like I was very embarrassed. But you understand that bracha exists today. Obviously, if you see the Rav within every 30 days, you don't have to make a bracha each time. But the first time you see the Rav, you have to make a bracha, obviously, Reb Moshe Feinstein. Reb Moshe came to a community and they didn't want to say Tachten that day. The Rav said, the rabbi of the shul said, if Reb Moshe Feinstein is visiting our kehila, this is a Simchat Yanta for us. I can tell you, Rabbi Lichtenstein came to Kehilat Jesher and Haki Lichtenstein, who's a shtickler chazan or a good chazan, some people say he's a better chazan than a dashan, I don't know. So Haki got so excited, Rabbi Lichtenstein, he started davening with a Nigan of Yontif. He said, if Rabbi Lichtenstein is davening with us, what are we hearing here? We have to daven with a Nigan of Yontif. I just want to say I'm struggling, and I think I have no... I mentioned in the Monday class that beginning December 3rd, I'm interrupting my regular lectures and in giving a very separate little series of Hakarat HaTov. And I'm going to speak about five great individuals that influenced my spiritual gestalt. And I want to say thank you to them. It's not their lives. I have enough material prepared. I could lecture on the five for 5 years. But what I want to do is just the impact as I understood them and how it affected me. And where are we hearing that noise from?
You know, I've been there changing classes, the bell from Shraga.
That, the bell, they use a bell. Okay.
I don't know, that's what it sounds like.
That's what it sounds like. Okay, as long as it's not the microphone.
No, it sounds like
now, the problem
it
is...
Like this is all messed up.
The problem is... I begin with December 3rd, a Sunday, and I want to continue Sunday, Monday, Sunday, Monday, Sunday, Monday, as long as it lasts. The problem is that some of you come Sunday, some of you come Monday. So I don't have a solution. If you can come Sunday, Monday, it would make me very happy. If you can't, then you have to follow online, okay? But you have to do it. Joseph, you have to upload it immediately so they can hear it and come in the next day and be up to date. Is this working? Am I getting anything? Okay. Someone played with this while I was gone. I don't know. I don't know who. And I came in this morning. Okay. Be it as it may, let us... Tomorrow, Be'ezrat Hashem, I pick up exactly where I left off. And dealing with the Agudas HaRabbanim in 1902, and at their first meeting, right after RJJ, Rav Yaakov Yosef's funeral, what their plans are for the future. What's very fascinating is that some of the plans haunt us until today. We haven't solved the problems. Some of them we have. We ended off, if you recall, last week, teaching the kids in Yiddish.
Does the RCA allow all of the rabbis in the...
No, they're not allowing. I'll tell you. Okay, now, I want to show you something very interesting, very sad. If you recall, a howitzer overturned and two chayalim were killed. I know both of the chayalim, I have connection to
the
both.
The katzin was a chabrusa of my grandson.
Okay, the katzin who was killed, the family shiva was only one day, a day and a half, a day, that's all. So the family sent this out that after Sukkot, the Armoni family that week received condolences like they're still sitting shiva. So you know what this proves? So a Talmud asked me, why do people want to have shiva again? They can't let go. It shows you how important shiva is, that a person needs that consolation from their friends and acquaintances. It's a proof to the importance of shiva.
If a ger loses a parent,
he can sit shiva.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, there's no bracha involved. Why not? It's kibud aviyim. It's a universal concept. Look at the Gemara in Kedushin, ben dama, right? Now, this is a magnificent article that Yitzchak sent me from an Italian newspaper. I can't even pronounce the name, Giulio Miotti, why Israel is the world's best nation. I cried when I read it. Beautiful. Yitzchak, this is for you. Are you aware that Rabbi Reuven Cohn died? I don't know how he pronounces it.
Reuven Cohn.
It's the door. He spells it C-O-H-N, unless they're wrong.
Well, that's the son of Rabbi Moses.
Right. Icon. Correct. That's your Rebbe.
My mind.
Right.
Well, he was the principal.
Principal.
And I was the victim.
You were what?
The victim.
The victim. Oh, mate, that doesn't sound too good.
What are you throwing
here? Here, I have two copies of this. This is fabulous. I'm involved in trying to get a get for a woman with a Beit Din, etc. So this is in the name of Reb Chaim Voloshin, the 18th camel. If you haven't heard it, how to write, how you always have to look for a solution to give a psak that will be equitable, fair, and end machlokes. The 18th camel, it's worth reading. This is very sad. This is Sariel Birnbaum. Again, to you it means nothing. He was one of the two madrichim from BMT who left the yeshiva on Yom Kippur, called up 1973, and did not return. And a Talmud at that time in BMT, every year on his yahrzeit, writes a beautiful piece. It's Naftali Gold, Normie Gold, my Talmud, and his friend. He was very friendly with the Madrich. It's worth reading what Normie wrote this year. This is from the New York Times. When religion is in play, a game is just that. And I didn't know this, but the Yankee and Red Sox played their games earlier on Sunday, Erev Yom Kippur. And the Giants and the Jets played at the same time in New York in deference to Yom Kippur, so that the Jews could watch the games and observe Yom Kippur. New York Times article. Here, I want to, if anyone wants a copy, very important, Einat Ramon, who is involved with the Schechter Institute in Jerusalem, wrote a beautiful article on why we have to have Mechitza separation at the Western Wall. And she, I don't know, it's Baruch Hashem, I make sense when I said in class, you'll find some of the thoughts right here in the article. I made a number of copies. If anyone wants, you're welcome to it.
Conservative rabbi?
Conservative rabbi, yeah. See. And Yitzchak, do me a favor, give this to Michael and tell him, a leftist animal, but still a very good book. You'll see in the book. Gentlemen, I want to thank you all for your participation. I once again want to tip my kippah to the many listening across the world. And until we meet again in health and happiness, Das Vidanya.
You should go up.
Ruchim to you.